Welcome back to the Jeff Bohr Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. We do appreciate you listening. Time for minutes. We'll get some of your texts at 251-343-0106. But keep them coming. We do appreciate the feedback. Joining us now, our next guest represents Russell County, Phoenix City, to be precise, in the Alabama legislature. But he's, as I've been telling you all morning, he is the, I think, one of the chief architects of this gambling push that's underway in the Alabama legislature right now. But State Representative Chris Blackshear joins us on the line. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. How are you doing? Happy Thursday.
Hey, doing well. Thanks for coming on. We do appreciate your time. Let's kick it off here. Congratulations. I've been hearing about this all off season, if you want to call it that. Would there be a bill, and what would it look like? But it looks like you got to the finish line on your schedule. But kind of walk us through, in your own words here, what you're trying to accomplish with the gaming issue.
Well, I think one thing, and Jeff, and thanks for having me on. I think there's one thing we could all hopefully agree on with all your listeners and stuff. Let's take out if you're for or against gambling for a moment, right? Alabama has a problem. And it started back in the 80s with legislation that created the tracts and evolved over the years with now a mound of 18 local CAs that were brought up, that were passed out of both of the House and the Senate here in Montgomery and went on to the balance, and the local people in those communities actually affirmed that they wanted to allow those types of games to exist, in their counties, in their hometowns. And it's gone, and the penalties are just mostly just all misdemeanors. So it's basically a slap on the wrist. And I told somebody the other day, is I've learned through this process, if you want to be a criminal, don't traffic drugs in the state, open an illegal casino. It's misdemeanors compared to felonies. It's a big difference. And that was something that had to be addressed. So there is not a one size fits all for this. There's not a perfect piece of legislation around gaming. But we took a different approach this time. Jeff, you've been covering this for a long time. There's been a lot of attempts, most recently back in 2021 when the Senate got there. I think the third time they got something out to us, and we got it like 2.5 weeks left in that session. Did a lot of work and didn't get anything on the floor, but we learned a lot. And the one thing we took away, and we've talked about over the last couple of sessions, has been, us and individual conversations, is if we're ever going to look at this again, number one, we have to address it in some shape, form, or fashion. But ever how it comes out, we need to do it from the inside out and not allow all the outside interests to do it. Because what we learned through this process is they all come to the table, but let's be honest, it's coming skewed to the table where they kind of get the advantage in their favor. So we drafted this one inside out. We visited, as you heard the press conference yesterday, facilities ourselves, some that were in the 18 counties that had the CAs. The majority were existing locations now that are not in the counties with the 18 CAs. And we're safe to say several hundred locations, if not close to 500 illegal operations, exist in the state today. So that's what we're looking to crack down on.
Well, and just to be clear here, this is not just casino gaming or rogue lottery or whatever, but you really do establish gambling in Alabama, and it's three things. It's the sports betting, it's the lottery, and it's the casino gaming. And it's a lot like the bill that you and former state senator Jim McClendon, you just mentioned, were working on. What's different this time around? What's the key distinction, you think?
I think, first off, let's add to it, Jeff. Those 3 points you just made are accurate, perfectly accurate. Let's also throw in your traditional rifles, like your drawdowns and stuff schools do. Technically, if you read the letter of the law, they're really, depends on who you ask, right? Prohibited in today's, the way the law is written. But that allows that. But it also allows your traditional paper bingo, when you sit there and someone calls the numbers out to you. So that's kind of the five prongs of what we would say. We've imploded everything. We've gotten rid of the CAs. This is the only thing we're going to allow to be on the ballot for the citizens to decide. So our biggest accomplishment was, Jeff, is we have to start over, because you can ask 100 people what's illegal and not illegal. You'll probably get 99 different answers. So with this, we come in and say, we're wiping the slate clean. All 18 local CAs are repealed. There can never be any more local CAs passed through the legislative body. We are then defining what games and what types of gaming will be allowed in Alabama. We're establishing a gaming commission that would oversee everything, a lottery corporation that would oversee the education lottery that will come out of this. And they'll have a 7-person board that answers up and dotted lines into the gaming commission. And the biggest thing and the most critical, I think, in this is an entire separate enforcement division that will have investigators, auditors, anything else we need to truly investigate specifically gaming in Alabama going forward. It will not be under Aaliyah. It will not be under the AG. It will be part of the gaming commission, which all this is self-funded through gaming proceeds that would come in. So you wouldn't be taking anything else away from any other state-funded agencies and or, you know, nonprofits that may get money and supplementals, and setting it there and saying, here's how it will be structured and who will oversee it.
Why was that important? Why was it important to give this new enforcement agency mechanism independence and not part of Aaliyah or the AG's office?
Well, we keep hearing now, you know, we're having a shortage of troopers now on the roads. I think the budget presentation we set through Monday, there's 81 potential troopers that are eligible for retirement in this next calendar year. We're way short on troopers. You know, the AG's office has made public comments in the last several months that they don't really have all the manpower. And one thing I failed to mention around all of this in the enforcement, Jeff, is, you know, 90% of all the penalties have now been upgraded from misdemeanors to felonies within this new piece of legislation that we introduced. And it incrementally increases from the level of a felony, also with the amount of the fine from first occurrence, second occurrence, and so forth, that we really now you're go do some time if you do it the wrong way gaming in Alabama.
Well, let's talk about the status quo. The status quo, it does seem very out of control, but is it this that we have DAs and we have sheriffs around the state who take different views and different approaches in enforcing the prohibition on gambling in Alabama?
You know, I think that's an interesting, you know, question and topic there. I think it is. I think it's a lot of interpretation problems. And I think that's why you've seen so many cases go to the Supreme Court, different Supreme Court rulings, AG's opinions. You know, they're all over the place, Jeff, you look at it. And one thing we found out during some of this investigation that we've done on our own, some of these facilities, and again, I'm not talking to ones in the back of the Zippy Mart, right? Some of these establishments have provided documentation. They're paying local taxes and state taxes. So it's kind of hard for me to say, hey, you're illegal, but we're taking your tax dollars and using them. You know, so there's a lot of things we found out in this, and we just really felt like, look, gambling exists in the state today. We know people are illegally doing sports bettings on their phones today. People are going to casinos. I don't care if you want to call them historical horse racing, electronic bingo. They got the one-armed bandits that you can pull. I personally, in my opinion, that's a slot machine to me. That's happening. And my district in Phoenix City, it's a whole other conversation of Phoenix City, Jeff, where we were back in the 50s. I already have a lottery in my district. All the money's just going to Georgia because they're just going right across the river and buying their tickets. So that's why we felt like it was time to cap the number of locations. We know now we're saying some say approaching 500. We know several hundred is going to go down to only 7 licensed casinos, and the other 3 that are part of the compact would give you 10 total. That is, either how you look at it, that's not skewing the numbers. You're drastically reducing it. Online sports betting, which is unregulated today, would be regulated, and they use the same algorithms and background security checks as your online banking companies use. There also are a lot of parameters and limits of what you can and can't spend throughout a day, total bet within the month, a lot of parameters around that. And the biggest thing is we're going to control it with this new enforcement wing, and we're going to regulate it, cap it, and tax it, and bring money back to the state of Alabama, which is not there today.
joined by State Representative Chris Blackshear here on the program. Representative, the complaint I hear a lot, the sort of picks winners and losers. Maybe it rewards existing gaming that has been operating questionably or legally dubious premises. Address that, if you would, and why you don't think that's necessarily the case.
So, Bill 2021, absolutely. We're being completely transparent here. Did pick winners and losers because it said it had to be at this location, and that owner had last right of refusal on the bid that came in. So there's no doubt, Jeff. You know, that's not a debatable topic, right? That is absolutely picking winners and losers. And this one, what we did is we named the counties. And if you go look at the counties, all the counties except for the one for the northeast location, the compact, are counties that, number one, have establishments today. So let's take the legal, illegal conversation out because, again, it's opinionated on who you ask and what court ruling you read. It's in those counties today. It was ratified by the voters in those counties. So you're not expanding to new counties that don't already have gaming facilities today. I'll give you an example. City of Birmingham, you will have one license now. We know of 51 other locations that exist in Jefferson County and Birmingham. That's gone. You just reduce that to 50. And the way it reads on the bid is number one, it is a free open bid. It is a true open bid with a minimum requirement dollar-wise for the license with no cap. There is a minimum phase one investment with no cap, and that phase one investment must start construction within 12 months. If you want to go down, and we have some prerequisites, Jeff, in the bill that spells out things that the Gaming Commission shall consider when issuing a license. Now, if you really want to nitpick it into ones that are no votes and are against it, we'll do very well. There are three things in there that says, what's your past investments in the state of Alabama? What's been your history of basically paid taxes to the state? What we're saying is, Jeff, I would hope if you and I owned any type of business, right? Let's not say gaming. If we put $200-300 million to throw a number out there in the state over the last 20 years, when you bid on something, at some point that should show up as a credit for something that you did invest in the state. So that's all it does. It just is a couple things that are in there that says, hey, if you've done business before, let us know. If you've got facilities where you're going to put the bid in that, they potentially can consider that, not in lieu of the money now, not in lieu of a license, not in lieu of the initial investment, in addition to all those other ones, which in my opinion makes the true open bid process.
Well, and here's where I have a question, and you know how that building can be with all the rumors and whatnot, but what if, what if for whatever reason, one of these is capped at 10 licenses, casino licenses, what would be the pathway to expand that?
All right.
Or what if one of these counties that you have named, or these locations, I should say, doesn't qualify, and would you move that somewhere else? Like how does that work?
Okay, here it works. First off, let's make sure you're right. There's 10 total, but you really can't count the three licenses on the Porch Creek Lane. They wouldn't have a license. That would just be part of the compact, you know, tied to that northeast location. So really there would be seven licenses, right? Seven okay. licenses and a compact. All right, so let's break this down in two segments. And thanks for asking. That's a great question. So the way the license works, the track locations, you know, you remember the legislation from the 80s that created the tracks, which is Mobile, Green, Macon, and the city of Birmingham. Those licenses can be transferred within those counties, right? But can never be transferred to another county or municipality in the state. So those are locked down. The Lounge and the Houston location, because those are the two more newer locations, you're right, they don't have the history that the track locations do. These are the most recent CAs. Those have a clause in there that if nobody bids on the license within 5 years, which that would be what, 2029 or 2030 if this passed, then those licenses could be transferred. The transfer process is first off, the Gaming Commission has to establish what their transfer policies and procedures are going to be, which that then has to come, of course, like all their other procedures and policies, has to come to the Legislative Council to be approved. So there's your one check. Secondly, they cannot be transferred within 50 miles of an existing license location. So you can't pile them on top of another county in there. And so that's the one path. The second path is, Jeff, you know, you asked the question about what happens for eighth license or ninth license, right? So you don't get back to where we are today. The way it's written in the bill is the Gaming Commission does not have the authority to, A, expand to different types of gaming, like casino gaming is on your iPhone. They can't do that, nor can they issue an additional license. How that would work is they would have to pass a resolution, the Gaming Commission, that is, send that to the legislature, and we would have to pass that in the House and the Senate, both by 3/5 votes, to allow that additional license and or to allow that additional game. Then on the back end, even if we passed that, then the locals would still have to pass it at a resolution for the county commission, resolution the municipality, or they can allow the citizens to vote before that license ever went there or was transferred to that location.
All right. Last question we'll get you out of here on this, Representative. I don't know if you started counting votes. A lot of people have. It looks like you're in a good spot. A lot of the maybes are now yeses, and a lot of the noes are now maybes in the House. The real question is, and I don't know if you've gotten this far on the, with the Senate and where it looks like upstairs. I saw Senator Albright was a part of your press conference yesterday, but kind of talk about where you're at today in getting this across the finish line.
We really. As you know, Jeff, we really kept it close to the vest. But the whole time we were keeping it close to the vest, we were communicating and giving updates to our members. And not only, on both sides of the aisle, right, is a holistic approach. A lot kind of the same approach that was done on the gas tax, right? It just really making sure, because we knew once it got out, it would spread like wildfire, which, was proof yesterday when we had media outlets calling us within, I think I had 5 texts when we got off the stage at the press conference, people, hey, well, I've already read the bill. I got a question about this part. I'm like, my goodness, it just got emailed to members 12 minutes ago. That's pretty impressive. So we've done a good job of informing. Now where we are is, we're just informing and educating people. We're letting them digest it, read it at their leisure, meeting with me, meeting Representative Witt, and just asking any of the, answering any of those one-off questions maybe have. It's just, I'm not pressing one way or the other to vote. I just think knowing we're going to get it to the floor is a task, and it's been a task for years. I think it's an accomplishment getting it to the floor, but I would love to see the opportunity for us to get something out of the House, to get something upstairs one time to the Senate. So, they passed something to Jeff, whether we agree or disagree, they have sent us something 3 times, and we have yet to show up to the ballpark willing to play ball. So hopefully we get the about face and get something out of the House and say, hey, guys, here's the ball. Now you go out there and throw it around.
Well, Representative, you've been very kind to make time for us this morning. We appreciate the update, and maybe if more develops, we'll get you on again soon. But thanks for coming on.
Thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
You do the same. State Representative Chris Black's here. He's one of the leaders on the gambling effort in the legislature right there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.